Dumb.
Cool.
And weird.
Podcast.
We are rolling. So, all right. So, welcome to the Dumb, Cool, Weird Podcast. I'm Wes. This is Nick. We have Satan. And we have Rory today.
Hello.
Yeah. So, we're going to be talking about wrestling, which is something I know absolutely nothing about. So, I brought in the experts.
And
the expert.
Man, the big guns. The cream of the crop.
Yeah, the cream.
So, a lot of you guys know that Scott Hall just passed away.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, this past week. So, this is to honor him. He was a great influence in modern day wrestling. But I personally think it was the golden age. I think the 90s for me was the golden age.
Absolutely.
I know if you were going to get, I knew someone's going to say something like, oh, that's not the golden age. It was the 70s and 80s. I don't really care.
The golden age is technically like the 50s and 60s.
Is it? Is it? Well,
yeah.
Screw them.
Like,
you know, it's the diamond
and
age.
Just I feel like that's more towards like cinema though, is like the 50s, 60s. That was like,
no, the,
like 50s, the golden age of cinema or whatever.
No,
but
the 50s
like,
and 60s I think was called that because it was like right after the war.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Well, real quick, so what you're hearing right now, so I don't know if anybody remembers, Nick?
I thought we were filming.
We are filming.
We are. Right. So Nick, oh, you cannot move your hands from here on out. So Nick agreed to do...
And guess what? The camera can see everything he's doing because the camera's right there.
Yeah, so this is the best part. So Nick agreed to do Edward 40 hands.
Oh, my
not
God.
Going
steal
to,
reserve.
Hey, do
it's
not
so
take
delicious.
Hands. Hang on. So Nick agreed that he's going to do Edward 40 hands. Now, granted, they are not 40. They are, what, 32 ounces?
Yeah, they are...
They're 8.1% alcohol, though.
Those are 24s.
Oh, are they?
8.1%.
So 24s. Now, okay, this is to get him getting ready for the next time he actually does Edward 40 hands. So what he's doing
it's
is...
It's training.
So
it's lightweight, baby.
He cannot let go of these. Now, we're not going to tape him because there is a catch. If he lets go of one of those beers, even for a second, we have to go get him another beer. He has to finish the one he let go, and he has to drink that one on top of it.
Oh, man.
So Nick
Dude,
is
I
not...
Dude, I forgot how like Steel Reserve tastes without a Four Loko dunked into it.
I mean, it's...
That's disgusting,
it's all awful.
Sidewalk slammers!
So, as y'all can see on the camera, and as we can see, we're going to hold him accountable. Everybody is going to be paying attention to him as he drinks from
to
the other.
Before we get started, Rory, I know you wanted to... I know, like, let's kind of introduce you a little bit.
Because
I know you're trying to get into, like, the audio game a little bit, too.
To an extent. So, most of the people who follow me know me as Red Lion. That is my Twitch handle / musician handle, DJ handle. Basically, whatever I am on, you know, like online, that's my name. But my channel, Team B4U Enterprises, is essentially a YouTube show, or well, a YouTube channel that has multiple different shows dedicated to preserving the past and bringing it into the now. And one of the ways that we like doing that is we go to various different conventions where we bring panels based on retro media, a bunch of different game shows to conventions across the Southeast and beyond. But there's also the show Replay, which I actually just rebooted, so to speak, with the very first episode being a sort of retelling of the very first episode of the old show Replay, which I know you know a little bit about, where I talked about a little game called River City Ransom and how it was essentially the precursor to modern day sandbox games like Grand Theft Auto and Saints Row, how it was a very open-ended style of game, even though there was still like a linear plot to it and whatnot, but you could play the game however you wanted to. And the character within, Kunio-kun, or as we know him, Alex, he was essentially the mascot of the game company Technos, who was influential in a number of different ways. They made Double Dragon. They made
great game,
very great game. They made Super Dodgeball. They made Crash and the Boys Street Challenge. They made God, how many other games did they make? I listed like a whole bunch of them. But anyways,
Dodgeball, the video game version of Dodgeball and Underdog Story.
To an extent, yeah. It's actually no.
Average Joe's gym.
Actually, no. Wasn't there a sequel to Dodgeball where there's like an international tournament or whatever?
I don't think there was a sequel to Dodgeball.
There,
you know, we're not the like. We're.
I think they kept tickling our buttholes about it. Yeah. But it never happened.
Well, one thing I definitely can already see that's going to be in the future is obviously we're going to ask him to come back and we're going to have a video game.
Yeah. Yeah. I could talk forever about video.
Well,
games.
Me and Rory actually already talked about like having him on for a video game episode in the future. It'll be easier in the future.
Me and Wes go back. Oh,
don't you let go of that can.
No, I'm just looking.
Do you see what he's trying to do? He's trying to like kill it as much as he possibly can right this second.
Dude, are you trying to
pace yourself? So he has no idea. I actually talked to him about this real quick. I was like, hey, like, do you understand like the issues with Edward Forty Hands? And he goes, well, yeah, it's the alcohol content. I'm like, no, it's the volume.
Yeah.
I can handle the alcohol. It's the volume. And I'm like, so I didn't explain to him the volume side. We're going to let him figure this out.
I'm trying to figure out. The left side feels a little warmer, so I got to drink this as fast as possible.
Oh, I love that. Do you realize what's going to happen? This is going to be epic. As the episode goes further and further.
Well, you already know what happens when I get drunk, and then somebody gets really fighty, and then I get really fighty, and then it turns into the WWE where I'm throwing people at, like, panes
there
of glass.
There you go, yeah.
Like Kurt Angle when he slammed Shane through panes of glass.
My God. Just don't.
King
don't
of the
hurt,
Ring 2001,
don't,
right?
Just don't, yeah. Don't hurt the fuck puppet, dude.
I can't hurt the fuck puppet.
Can you hurt it, though? That's the question.
Is that what you call it over here? That statue of the Exorcist you call the fuck puppet?
It is what it is. Sometimes we're on, sometimes we're off. It's a weird relationship.
God, Linda Blair is rolling in her grave, quite literally.
He's dead.
So, what I was saying, though, was that me and Wes go back to the days of when we were both enrolled at the University of North Georgia. Nick as well, mm-hmm. To a lesser extent. We were kind of...
there, and I'm there again!
There it is!
I'm just saying, like, me and
so
him,
those of y'all don't know, yeah. UNG sponsors this show. Wait, now we're being sued again.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if I say certain people's names enough times, do you think they'll sponsor us?
Well, I mean, that's why Steel Reserve's also sponsored.
Steel Reserve.
And we're sued again. Literally, that text message.
I'm sorry, that literally just hit my phone. That was, if that was on me, I'll totally take a freaking Edward 20 hands as a punishment there. No. So, yeah, but me and Wes go back quite a while, back to the days when you were known on YouTube as Shafty Fingers Productions. Mr. Shafty over here.
Yeah.
Dressing up in a freaking beer onesie and doing beer reviews. God, man.
The Steel Reserve.
That's coming back, by the way.
It's coming back.
Yeah, that's going to be part of the new
Though. Rory always told me he thought that show had a lot of potential. Man.
It did, actually. Like, I honestly liked it.
Because nobody was really doing anything like that. Because, like, back in the day when people were doing reviews on the internet, nobody was ever doing like a
no one
review.
Was getting and wacky
not really,
either.
No.
Yeah. And the,
no.
The funny thing is, me and him went to MomoCon together one time.
Yes.
And I was in my drunken bastard outfit and we were going down the escalator and somebody said, hey, is that the drunken bastard? And Rory just goes, what the fuck?
Yeah. I was just like, someone actually watches your videos? What is this?
So if you see, it's kind of like here, we have the beer periodic
table.
Yeah,
I noticed that. That was really cool.
So we actually reference this a lot. So, Nikki, what kind of beer is this?
Well, I can't touch.
That's an ice beer. It's a high gravity ice lager.
He was trying to sabotage me. Just like Vince McMahon tried to sabotage someone else's career.
To rapid shift back into wrestling, though, on the subject of MomoCon, I actually have a great story. So, MomoCon 2015, I believe we were shooting Real Questions with Rory Collins, which was a terrible, terrible show where I basically tried to interview cosplayers like they were
Have you listened to this show?
Yes.
It's awful. It's fucking ridiculous.
Okay, it's horrible. Right. Well, then I'm in my environment here.
Yeah, you're in it, man. You're like, you were home, sir.
Yeah. Oh, God, it feels good to be home. Anyways, we were filming that MomoCon episode, but we were also doing like a documentary with like some other like indie gamer developers and stuff like that.
I was running camera and I was actually really drunk the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. He was the cameraman for
all
the whole entire thing.
The camera just starts going
down. It was funny.
Actually, no, the camera was steady the whole entire time.
No, it was funny because like when me and Rory were walking, they had booths everywhere for Sweetwater, and I would just walk over there and grab one. And I don't think they do that that anymore. At those.
Wait a minute. There was a booth for Sweetwater there, yeah. And you never bothered to give me any?
I know. That's what
you
I'm
sabotaged me. Yeah, oh, my God.
Yeah, he wanted you to be sober.
They used to do that over at Warped Tour.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved it. It was between that and Monsters. So I literally went back and forth. I think it was like Bud Light did it or something stupid. Yeah.
Bud Light
so
and
I would
Monster.
Go and grab a Bud Light and a Monster. I'd go back and forth. Hey, we got a cat here, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I guess she's going to be in this episode.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
in
this
episode. Hey, sweetheart.
Bud Light, Monster, and Warped Tour. What was like?
I'm pretty sure.
What, was Five Finger Death Punch like the headline?
Five
or
Finger
something?
Fruit Punch, you
that,
mean?
Yeah. Yes, they were there. Yeah, that tells you. That's how long
actually,
ago
it's
I was
Five
there.
Flavor Fruit Punch.
Five Flavor Fruit Punch.
The worst band that everybody for some reason loves.
Like exactly. The Rock.
Yeah, no.
Like The Rock.
Like The Rock. Nobody can understand. Why does anybody like it? Has everybody figured out he was a villain the entire time?
So I actually know why everybody liked him is because he had more charisma than two George Clooney's fucking in Candlelight. It was that he was like that charismatic, and anybody can follow a person who's that charismatic. Like anybody can. As long as you have charisma, you will be liked by the general populace.
Well,
and
he had one thing, that stupid eyebrow thing.
Yeah.
That was it.
But that was enough to get a bunch of retards on board.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, let's be honest.
Nick, we can't say retard.
I'm sorry. It's not especially educated.
There you go.
Special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That, yeah.
Which I was.
Okay, but.
When he's talking about his own people, is it still offensive?
Yeah, it's our word.
he's trying to take it back. That's what he's doing.
Anyways, the story that I was going on was at MomoCon and everything, how he was the cameraman for my stuff. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed someone who looks extremely familiar, like I've seen them before, and I think it's Xavier Woods, one third of the New Day, who's like a super popular group now in the WWE, but this was actually when they were first starting. So, I'm curious, and I go over to him and I ask him, "Hey, are you Xavier Woods?" Like, I had no idea who the guy was, but he looked a lot like him, and he was just like, "Yeah, I get told I got looked like him a lot." And the reason why I was asking him this was not just because I was a fan of the WWE, but at the time in 2015, I was actually training to become a professional wrestler.
That's awesome.
I'll give a shout out to Anarchy Pro Wrestling in Cornelia, Georgia. They were the guys who basically showed me the ropes. Slim J, as he's more commonly known.
They're also sponsors of the show.
Yeah.
They don't know it yet.
They don't know it yet.
Well, they will be.
The show.
We are going to contact them right after.
But Slim J was training me and another good friend of mine, Jamarcus. You may know him as Beadbop Artworks on Instagram. Super cool dude. He's been making bead art since, like, I think 2016, and he's gotten, like, over 100,000 followers on Instagram and nice. TikTok and all that. He's really good. He was actually training the two of us to become professional wrestlers. I made it a little bit more deep into training than Jamarcus did for whatever reasons I'm not entirely certain. But I was able to basically,
he's
like,
flexible. He can put his legs behind his head.
You know,
you don't know that yet.
Yet.
Yes.
Yes.
You hear that? Nick got very excited just there. He was like, yeah, baby.
Yet.
The BDMS episode's coming again.
No,
it's all right.
We really do got to get a dominatrix on here. Maybe we'll get a dominatrix wrestler.
There you go. Yeah. Someone like Shaniqua, the one who dominatrix the Basham brothers. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
See, I will tell you, I was definitely more on the WCW side.
Okay.
Granted, I know they were more short-lived. I mean, they were what, a decade, or maybe a little bit more.
Turner owning the WCW, like it when it got really popular, is amazing. I just want to know that pitch meeting where he's like, he's like, "You know what? I feel like fucking Vince McMahon over. I'm rich. Let me go and own this."
Exactly.
Hold that thought, because I have a whole like history of how like the Monday Night Wars actually got started. But anyways, the point was that I was talking to somebody who I thought looked like Xavier Woods, and I name dropped NWA Anarchy and Slim J, saying that I was, you know, training to be a professional wrestler. He was training me, all that stuff. That was where I was at. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, "Oh yeah, I recognize that name. I remember him." And I was just like, "Wait, you do?" And I'm just like, yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. And then I have a moment of realization, and it's just like, oh God. And then I look down at his badge, his con badge, and it's not a regular badge, it's a VIP badge. And then I look back up at him, I'm just go like, "Shit, you're Xavier Woods, aren't you?" And he's just like, "Yep, I am." And I was like, Oh, God, this is embarrassing. But I ended up getting a selfie with him out of the deal, so, like, it was really cool. But, yeah, Xavier Woods, super cool dude, and a Georgia product also. He actually got started in NWA Anarchy Wrestling back before it was known as Anarchy Wrestling. It was actually, I think, Wildside. NWA Wildside was where it was at. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's just a really cool story that I have about him. And then I also have another good story about another wrestler, but we'll save that for a later topic. Mm-hmm. But anyways, WCW versus WWE.
Yeah.
So this was a period known as the Monday Night Wars. I'm sure of you guys kind of know about that. Yeah. When Nitro was made in 1995 and Lex Luger, who was then signed to the WWE, but nobody knew it yet, he literally waited out the rest of his contract and then showed up on the first episode of Nitro when they filmed it at the Mall of America in Minneapolis.
I remember that.
And everyone lost their mind. It was just like, wait a minute, what's he doing here? Isn't he signed with WWE? And, like, literally that laid the groundwork for, like, the next, like, 5-6 years of wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like,
the and he was signed, like, as a result of Hulk Hogan going to WCW, correct?
To an extent. So the whole thing with how Hulk Hogan left WWE for WCW was there was a certain wrestler, a Canadian wrestler, you happen to be wearing his shirt, called
Bret the Hitman Hart.
My favorite wrestler of all time. I will go on record saying on that.
He is.
He was basically kind of becoming the guy around, like, 92, 93. He even had the WWE Championship, or WWF Championship, if you prefer, at the time. And then WrestleMania 9 happened. So he was slated to face Yokozuna, who was, like, this big
sumo guy.
Yeah, he's part of the Anoa'i family, I think is what it's called.
The Rock family is in wrestling.
Yes.
Like, throughout it.
Yeah. He faced him in the main event, and he lost. And Yokozuna won the title. And then all of a sudden, Hulk Hogan, who came out, he was had like a black eye from some weird like jet ski accident. But allegedly, Randy Savage like punched him in the face. Knowing it depends on what side of the story you believe.
Elizabeth story.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. He basically came out and was just like, yo, what happened, brother? And Bret was just like, I lost, man. And then he was just like, that's no good around here, Jack. I'm going to come in here and challenge them for the WWF Championship because I'm Hulk Hogan and I'm great.
Hulk Hogan just...
And then he ended up winning the championship, and then he held on to it for like, what, 2.5 months, dropped it back to Yokozuna, and then like Bret Hart got just like consistently shafted. And it sucked because Bret Hart was great. And then all was forgiven around 1994. He won the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 10 in Madison Square Garden. And then began the New Generation era, which was where I started watching wrestling when I was like 4 years old. My first ever match was Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 12, the Iron Man match. A lot of people are saying then that's like an overrated match because like it's not. It's amazing. It's two of like the greatest wrestlers competing for 60 plus minutes because it went into overtime.
It's
right?
Basically Texas versus Canadian Texas.
Yeah, to an extent. Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but like Calgary's basically like
it's Canadian Texas, Texas. Colorado, Arizona. It's like one province is like five states.
Yeah. Right. And you are the Canadian in the room, so we can actually like you know that's actual fact. We can have him validate that.
Well, speaking of great wrestlers, I'm gonna bring this up. Scott Hall. One of my favorite things about Scott Hall didn't even happen in wrestling. It didn't even happen while he was in the ring. Nothing like that. In October, I pulled it up because I wanted to make sure I got this all right. October 10th, 2008, he was at a roast for the Iron Sheik.
Oh, jeez. I know what story this is, but I'll let you tell it.
over at the Crown Plaza in Jersey. So there was a comedian, Jimmy Graham. He was there. He was kind of doing his little segment on the roast, and he actually said that after the Sheik and Hacksaw Jim Dugan got caught snorting coke in a parking lot, his career fell faster than Owen Hart.
Ooh! Wow!
And how did Scott Hall go in answer to that? So Scott Hall, everybody should know that Scott Hall did marry into the Hart family.
Yeah.
Was it Jessica Hart?
I think it was.
Yes.
So
yes.
Very close to the Hart family. And the thing is if you don't like the Hart family, you can go screw yourself because they're beautiful people. They're all of them are amazing. They actually love to give young wrestlers their leg up.
They do a lot even for like charities.
Yeah, they're big in charities because Brett actually almost died of cancer.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Owen.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
Brett.
Yeah,
Brett almost died of cancer? Cancer. What? He had like a stroke though, right?
Didn't he? Yeah,
okay.
He did.
I that must have been like unrelated or whatever.
Well, so here's Scott. He's listening to this. He jumps up and charges the stage, throws the podium, and jackknifes this jackass.
Yeah.
And he's like, he was like, don't disrespect the Hart family. And yeah. I mean, and then he gets arrested.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing is, this guy, whatever your viewpoint is on Scott Hall, it doesn't really matter because you're probably wrong. this guy, he did have issues with drugs. He did have issues with PTSD. Actually, a lot of people don't know that. That's actually where his addictions came from. That's how he coped. But I mean, this guy, like, he loved the industry. He loved the people in the industry. The industry loved him. Diamond Dallas Page invited him
in his house.
Yeah, and he lived at his house. He lived at his house to
get clean. And that's how he got clean, and that's how he basically turned around his life. And that's how he was able to sever ties with WWE, and that's how he ended up getting into the Hall of Fame as Razor Ramon
back
in 2014. The whole thing about his addictions and all that kind of stuff has been documented. I'm sure you guys have seen the E60 documentary. Where he basically was like going to like these independent shows like Juggalo Championship Wrestling and like ICW and all these other kinds of things, and he was wrestling at like what 53, 4, somewhere around like in his mid 50s.
It was like when Jake the Snake was
doing the same thing. The thing is about wrestling that, at least as a person who's been a fan of it for years and has stepped inside the ring and has actually like known how people, like, you know, live their life and stuff like that. The thing is that wrestling Roddy Piper actually said this about, like, 3 years in an interview before, like, he died.
Nick is so proud of himself. Is that one empty?
Yeah.
You cannot let go of that can. You can't. Please, actually, please let go of that can. I would love to have to go and get you from the fridge. Anyway. He's like, oh, there's a drip left.
You good?
Yeah, I'm just harboring Stone Cold Steve Austin's corpse in my mouth.
Stone Cold Steve Austin's not dead.
I was about to say.
Not yet.
He's got about 40 more years
before he's allowed to leave.
Yeah, he's going to kill Kevin Owens at the WrestleMania this year. He's still got that to look.
He's got a comeback.
I'm not surprised these wrestlers have strokes and heart attacks, man, if they're doing a bunch of drugs and doing a bunch of,
stuff. And wrestling back in, like, the 80s and 90s was fueled by cocaine. So, like,
and steroids.
Cocaine, steroids, alcohol, all that kind of stuff. They were gods. That's how they viewed themselves.
But that's also how all of them are dying now.
Dude.
Yeah, exactly. And Roddy Piper actually said this best. Wrestling has a tremendous entry program. Like, they will, like, you know, give you riches beyond your wildest dreams. They'll give you fame. They'll give you power. They'll give you all the belts you want. You know, just show up to work and, you know, be at work every day. They don't have an exit program.
No.
They never did. And it's only gotten until now when, you know, documentaries about, like, you know, Roddy Piper, Scott Hall, Jake the Snake Roberts, all these things are coming out. Have you guys ever watched Dark Side of the Ring?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I love that shit.
Dark Side of the Ring, the whole thing about New Jack and God.
His life was tragic.
Yeah. Like, they don't have an exit program where they can actually take care of the people whenever their bodies, like, can't work anymore.
And again, though, New Jack did kill his own career by being hard to work with.
That was a bit of a bad example.
He was I was going to say, New Jack was kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah. That was kind of a bad example. But still, though, you would figure that companies would, like, see, like, the warning signs of these kinds of things. And, you know, have, like a severance program, like, where they could go, you know, get rehab on their dime, or, you know, get surgeries and stuff like that on their dime, instead of having to, you know, treat them like circus performers. And
But keep in mind, that is the origin.
Oh, yeah. Wrestling in and of itself is literally no different from a three-ring circus.
Well, and that's what it was in the very, very beginning. People used to go, these circuses used to go and bring these people, and that's where they would watch it.
So, oh, yeah.
That's actually how Harley Race got his start as a wrestler. He was a circus performer, and he even said, he's like, back in those days, if you didn't win, you didn't eat. Yeah. And like, he wasn't even like, it's people incentive. People thought it was a joke. He's like, no, you didn't eat. Like, you didn't get paid for shit.
Yeah. It's that carnival lifestyle that has like zero regulations. That's a very dangerous thing to get yourself into when, you know, you have that, you know, like, those delusions of grandeur about, you know, being like this big famous rock star of a wrestler.
Well, and everybody knows they exploit certain things. So like Scott Steiner, real quick, I got his, he's 6'7".
Scott Steiner.
Sorry, not Scott Steiner. Sorry, Scott Hall. Sorry.
Oh. I was going to say, Steiner's another man. Yeah.
Were we going to do some Steiner mathematics here?
Oh, yeah. So,
Steiner math and politics are great.
So Scott Hall, they have him billed at 6'7". Weighing 287 pounds. The reason why I'm bringing this up is that these men were huge. Now I'm sure this is obviously a little bit of a lie. I mean, if you look at
Vince McMahon had a bodybuilder fetish.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously.
Well, that's I don't think that's what he was getting at. I think it was more like they're billing them to being bigger than they actually are. Like, like for example, the Big Show. How everyone was saying that he was like 7 foot and 500 pounds. He was more like 7 foot and maybe like 444 pounds or something that. But like
Andre the Giant actually was like big.
He wasn't even the largest. God, what's it called? Gigantism.
Yeah,
I think
that's the technical term. What's his net? The Big Show also had the same problem.
He did.
Difference though is that the Big Show knew that he had to get the surgery to remove the
pituitary gland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To like stop the growth, but
and he wasn't the only one though. There were several of them because everybody thinks that the Big Show and that Andre the Giant
Big
were the largest.
John Studd though, he never got the surgery and he died too.
Yeah.
Yes. Well,
Big John Studd almost got killed by Andre for real because he disrespected Andre in the ring.
Well, yeah, that's a really neat story.
but that's the thing is like some like well one first off those guys Andre the Giant or the Big Show neither one of them were the largest. There was actually people who were much bigger than both of them, but you're right. But the thing is like this overbilling was also like you're saying it's stroking the ego. These people believed that they were this big. Are they both empty?
Yeah.
He was just doing a mock little Stone Cold thing.
Are you sure?
I mean, want to touch him?
You want to hand me one?
well. Yeah, you still have to hold on to them though.
You can't
empty.
Let go.
You can't let go.
No. I'm done. You never said in my contract that we had to hold them once we were done. I finished. I'm the greatest. Here we are.
He's the greatest. Keep in mind, that's half of.
Get me a 40 ounce.
Did you hear that?
All right, I'm getting you one.
All right.
Pour me a glass.
Wes is no. Wes is like, look, I don't have a whole lot to say in this episode, so I will go. And hey, are you gonna get him a Yingling?
Actually, you know what?
Yeah. Hey, Wes, we should
get one of the experimental beers.
Not to be like a dick or anything, but can I actually have the microphone with better sound quality since you're not gonna be saying much in this episode?
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
actually, that shotgun's way better than all three of these microphones.
Yeah. That
right here?
That
man,
one's
we're
better.
Already shit talking and running wrestling promos while we're not even doing that shit.
So I'm gonna also the whole make or break we were talking about that.
Yeah,
like in a name. Okay, these names are a big deal. So Scott Hall was known as the American Starship Coyote.
That's beautiful.
What local promotion did he run that with? Because that was definitely not AWA.
Okay.
When
I have no idea. But another one is the Diamond Stud. I remember that
from AWA.
That's right. And then obviously everybody knows Razor Raymond.
Hey yo,
Scott Hall, of course.
Razor Ramon.
Oh, sorry.
Ramon. The only man who could walk down Little Haiti without getting robbed.
And then, of course, he went by his actual...
If you bitch too much, man, I'm going to bring you that Bud Light.
You want me to suck your dick? Is that what you want?
I got a strawberry limerita in there, and he doesn't. He don't want that.
Wait,
can't handle that.
Wait, give me the strawberry limerita instead.
Dude, he has a shock on it.
Wait, you want that?
He has a shock on it.
Oh, my God.
No. He has a shock on that one, and then he has to drink that.
No, this is better for, like, next week when I go, like, I'm training. Okay, I'm in training.
Oh, yeah. Bring him too.
You're in training, but yet you passed on the opportunity for the real thing. God, you really are a chicken shit heel. All right, MJF.
And then his last name he went by was Texas Scott.
Oh yeah, that was when he was like on his like his tour of the Independents after WCW ran out and WWE didn't want him anymore.
Yeah, but I love that name, by the way.
Yeah, Texas Scott.
I like that.
Texas Scott. That is a very down to earth name.
I don't know about down to earth, but okay.
No, the fact is that he made up the whole Razor Ramon thing after he almost got a really shitty deal with like Vince McMahon when he came up with his character. He had him like be like some army vet or something with a cigar was what Vince McMahon originally wanted. And then Scott Hall apparently just said, you know, I want to be like Scarface.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and Vince McMahon doesn't even know what the fuck Scarface is.
Yes, Vince McMahon, the man who is so out of touch with reality, it's almost like
it's hard.
Pitiful.
But yeah, he didn't know what Scarface was, so he thought that Scott Hall was a fucking genius because he came up with this whole gimmick all on his own.
Oh yeah.
But he did, but then the fact is like he modeled it after Scarface. But I mean, you know, Vince McMahon was a little retarded at the moment and he was just like, I don't know.
At the moment. You know, I've never had any respect or love for the McMahon family. Like, for him. The rest of the family, I can actually handle.
I will have sex with Vince McMahon's wife.
He said that for the record. I'll
push it a step further. You went to his wife, but not his daughter.
I'll have sex with his son.
That I believe.
Wait, which one? Shane or his son-in-law?
Shane, not okay. The other one.
Well, yeah, you had to make sure there's a difference.
Unless Triple H wants a threesome.
So here's the thing. So we've invited a lot of people on the show. Hey, you're invited, by the way. And you can respond in whatever kind way you want to Nikki over here. You know who doesn't like wrestling? Who's a really big piece of shit?
Who?
Michael Moore.
Michael Moore,
that piece of
that
shit.
That does not surprise me at all. And I'm from Michigan, okay? That does not surprise me at all about fucking
guys,
Michael Moore.
You know who we need to have on here to really teach us a good lesson? Scott Steiner. He'll teach us the Steiner math, the Steiner politics. It's all out there. We need it.
I mean, Scott Steiner.
I wish I could recite the promo by memory, but I just can't do it right now. All I know is 63 1/3% chance of beating me at Sacrifice.
Yeah, it's not happening.
It ain't happening.
The only thing I know about wrestling is because I like movies so much, I've seen a lot of these wrestlers in movies. Like the first time I ever saw Roddy Piper was in They Live, which is one of my favorite movies.
That's I'm a here really to good movie. Kick ass and chew bubble gum. And I'm all out of bubble.
I'm a huge John Carpenter fan.
That's that was a great movie, honestly. Like,
yeah, people
shit on like those B movie like horror films that were made in the 80s, but like They Live was actually really good.
No, it was really good because it had a really good like message in it. You know, he's basically saying, hey, you're being programmed by media, and because remember when he put the glasses on, it showed what they were really seeing.
Yeah.
So hot take here, They Live. I would consider to be a precursor to The Matrix.
Yeah, that works.
Both of the plots are relatively similar if you think about it, because there's a lot of, you know, like media influence and how people would be, you know, plugged into the Matrix system of, you know, this utopia where like everything's perfect and everything like that, when in reality it's like a completely, you know, George Orwellian dystopian future.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? What's really sad, though, is, like, the actual life of a guy like Roddy Piper. Like, when he got his whole start in wrestling, you know, his father was an abusive piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Roddy actually was a boxer
before
he became a wrestler, and he was a bagpipe player.
What?
Yeah.
No joke.
No, he was actually he really was a pro bagpipe player.
He really was Roddy Rod Piper.
Yeah. He was an amazing heel, too.
Yes.
When he wanted to.
So I was actually just watching something by I didn't mean to like interrupt or anything, but I was just watching something from Adam Blompier, who is probably one of my favorite wrestling journalists out there. Shout outs to Wrestle Talk and Parts of Unknown, the two companies that he works for. So he actually went in depth about how Roddy Piper was originally supposed to be given the WWE championship or WWF championship after the original WrestleMania, and the whole like main event to WrestleMania 2 was supposed to be Hulk Hogan versus Roddy Piper in the steel cage instead of King Kong Bundy. And it wasn't supposed to be like a 3-show piece. It was just supposed to be in Madison Square Garden again. I think there were just plans that fell through because, like, people didn't think that he could be a good heel or whatever. And I don't know where people got off at saying that because he was an absolute, like, unit. Like, he literally laid the ground foundation for all modern heels of wrestling to follow. And I honestly think he didn't get enough credit. And, you know, they should have put the WWE Championship on him at least once in his career, but they never did. And it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, Roddy Piper, he knew how to get under people's skin naturally.
Yes,
he was absolutely beautiful at it. That's what made him such a great heel. But in real, in outside of wrestling, he was an amazing human being.
Yes, probably one of like the most like genuinely caring people.
Very kind-hearted.
for like this whole entire business as a whole professional wrestling. He's like genuinely one of the most caring people.
Well, the ones that like have like that kind of lineage, that tends to be what happens. I mean, you look at like a lot of people didn't realize, like, so like Andre the Giant, when they tried to make him a heel, it was hard because he's such genuinely a good guy.
I mean, the Princess Bride had already been out. So like,
how do you hate the man?
how do you hate the guy who played the giant in, I forget his name, in Princess Bride? Wes, help me out here. What's the name of the giant in Princess Bride?
I don't know his name, honestly.
You don't know? But I thought Princess Bride was one of your favorite movies.
See, I would look it up.
Not my favorite movie. I like it. My favorite part of the movie is when they go down and the guy gets locked down in the cellar and the guy's like, it's the pit of despair. No one... And then, like, he gets in, like, a regular voice. That's like, my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah. I think my favorite was, the short king, the guy who plays young Sheldon's mentor now in
Wallace
the
Shawn?
Young Sheldon. Yes.
Yeah.
His classic line of, ha ha, you fool, you fell for one of the classic blunders. Never bet against a Sicilian when death is on the line. And then he just heels backwards and dies of fucking iocane poisoning. And it's literally that movie, I will go on record saying, is probably one of like the top 10 comedies of all time. I don't think I'm like wrong in that argument when I say that. Like, if you're a person who like loves cinema like I do and like actually has a degree for it, The Princess Bride is probably like one of like the best movies that you think you've ever seen.
I forgot that Hulk was in Rocky 3.
Yeah, this is actually...
Oh, he was, he was Thunderlips.
Yeah, Thunderlips.
Yeah, so this is actually...
You know, he actually got into a lot of trouble with the WWE because of that. When Vince McMahon Sr. was in control of it, he lost his job as a wrestler for the WF. He had to...
Oh, no, this is long...
No.
This is 82.
No, what I'm saying is like when he did that movie...
Which one?
Rocky 3?
Rocky 3.
No.
No, what?
This was way before that. Rocky 3 was in 82.
But he lost. But what I'm saying is, because he went against
before it was the WWE.
Before it was the WWE. When it was the WWF, he actually lost his job with Vince Senior.
Well,
and he went. He actually worked mostly with New Japan. I think it was like AWA.
Yeah.
Well, this is where.
And then Vince McMahon Jr. stole him right back when he bought up all the territories.
Because Vince McMahon Jr. was a smarter businessman.
Yeah.
So this is where I have reason why I have Hulk on there. I have a pulled.
Well,
up.
My favorite Hulk movie is Suburban Commando.
So that's a beautiful movie.
So that's funny.
I was frozen.
Really? Mine's The Nanny.
Oh, The Nanny. Oh God.
Whoa. What is it? Three Ninjas. Is that the other one?
That's
I'm
the one
of?
I was talking
that's what
about.
We were talking
about today. Three Wait, Ninjas
I,
3.
Dude,
oh,
I just
yeah.
Wanted,
oh, my God. Dude, he was in that movie. I forgot about that.
Well, see, this is the reason why I brought all this up was because I always think it's funny. When I see like wrestlers back in the day, not now, but back in the day, when I see them on movies, I'm like, oh, their career is tanked.
Yeah.
And now they're doing like these really crappy movies. But Hulk was probably the first one.
Roddy Piper too.
Roddy Piper had better movies than Hulk, and that's because
Roddy Piper was in a John Carpenter movie.
So that's actually the next.
That's not the only reason why, though.
Well, actually, the next thing was is that the WWE wanted to make a movie with Roddy Piper, but he didn't trust him. He didn't trust him to do it. He was like,
not.
WWE Studios is the shittiest studio production.
Well, here's the thing. WWE Studios didn't get started until like what 2006, but like they were trying to make a movie.
It was an idea.
Yeah, it was an idea, and like we already don't trust the scripts that Vince McMahon makes anyway. So like, why would you think a movie would be good enough for that? It's dumb.
I will say that the best person, best wrestler that crossed over into movies is John Cena.
Oh, 100%.
John Cena's not, fucking not the hilarious.
Rock, not yeah. The Rock, John Cena. I'm sorry, anybody that, like, some of the comments that come out of his mouth are, like, right up there with, like, Ryan Reynolds.
Have you seen him as the Peacemaker?
It's beautiful.
It's great. Yeah. Yes.
I gotta be honest. I gotta be honest with you guys. I don't know shit about his wrestling career. I know way more about his football career. He was an all American football player, and that's what I know about him. I know the school he played for.
All American and Springfield College, I believe it was. Yeah.
He was also a bodybuilder. I remember that.
Yeah.
He was a rapper.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't see him.
So funny story. The reason why. He actually almost got fired, like, when he started out in wrestling at WWE back in, like, 2002. The reason why he still actually was able to have a job was because Stephanie McMahon, of all people, was in, like, within earshot of John Cena actually freestyle rapping, and she was just like, oh, wow, I didn't know you could do that. And somehow, some way, they were able to, like, retool his character so that he became, like, you know, the Vanilla Ice word life basic Thugonomics gimmick that he had for a little while that actually got cool with the fans, and then
cool except with the military. China. Well, no, with the military community. When he was wearing all the military stuff, he was trying to play that
through 8 weeks of Marine Corps boot camp, and then he went. He did the whole military shit. It's like
he pissed off a lot of people.
You went through the special ed course without going through it all the way.
Exactly. I was about to say, he had the audacity to become the Marine, quote unquote, that movie.
And you went eight weeks ain't shit.
and I'm sitting in front of two ex-Marines here, right?
Whoa.
No.
You touched this man's balls differently, all right? I didn't spend 13 weeks in Paris Island jerking myself off to be a soldier.
I actually didn't ask that before the cameras were rolling, so I apologize.
No, Army.
Yeah. Okay, my bad. now I know that for future.
And Wes was in the Merchant Marines.
By Merchant Marines, he means the seaman.
Actually, I actually almost did become an officer in the Navy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually tried to enlist in the Marine Corps. The problem is that they actually found out I had low-grade scoliosis. So I was just like, really?
And then he decided, you know what? I'm going to be a wrestler. That would have been the best story. Scoliosis man. I'm curved to everything. Just like my dick.
My dick curves in ways you can't even imagine.
I'm tapping out. Okay.
I am going to bring up at some point somebody. I'm going to be very disappointed if someone does not bring up Ric Flair.
Ric Flair is the man.
Oh yeah. See, absolutely. This is the thing. So the thing is, I'm loving this because everybody ends up in Georgia.
He was the guy who like became Georgia because he was the face of WCW.
Yeah. So between him, Scott Hall also lived here in Georgia. Yeah. He actually passed away in Marietta, Georgia.
Yes.
And like I said, if people don't know his story, we'll touch later. Maybe did not.
Well, I got a wrestler story. I'll let y'all finish your story because I actually know a wrestler personally. Like
actually, I think we all need a for just a second.
Yes.
We need
yes. To Wes, actually share your wrestling knowledge. What little you have.
So I do. So I grew up in Dawson. I grew up in Dawsonville, and Bill Goldberg lives in Dawsonville.
That's right.
Hey, that's right.
And I know Bill pretty well. He would come to our school. And
please come on this show. I don't care if you come on the show as the wrestler version of you, as the football player of you, because he played for the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played for four years.
That's right. And it sounds weird. He actually was not just one of my – actually, probably my favorite wrestler right beside Sting. But I loved him when he played football, even though I don't watch football anymore because I'm a real man and I play rugby. But he's genuinely – oh, and he's a Jew like me. So – I love it. I absolutely love it because I think he's amazing.
the real triple threat.
What was really cool is he came to our school back in elementary school. He signed the DARE shirts, which is kind of funny because DARE is a failed program. Didn't
very much.
Oh my god!
They actually put more people on drugs than they took people.
Yeah,
but he came to our football practices in high school, and he kind of just he basically was there to kind of motivate us a little bit. But like he just had a lot of really cool like stuff to say to us. He was just like, hey, you know, I really like living in Dawsonville. I really like what you kids are doing. He kind of coached. He was kind of talking to one of the guys that we played with because he went and played for Georgia Tech. He kind of gave him a little bit of pointers because, you know, Bill Goldberg played, you know, professional football. And, you know, this motherfucker's big.
What was he like? 6'3", 6'4", 280 pounds, something like that.
I'm pulling him up right now.
He is a legit mountain of a man.
He's a unit.
Yeah, yes, he went with the lineman over, and he was showing us some drills on the line. Dude, I could totally see why he is a professional football player. He was so good. Like, yeah.
So let's forget that. Like, okay, so he's 6'4". So I mean, don't get me wrong. Yes, that is tall for everybody sitting at this table. But let's be real. It's not how tall he was. It's how wide he was, and yes. I don't mean fat. I mean his shoulders. Or massive.
Dude,
6'4", real quick. 6'4", 285 pounds. That's what he was built at. But also as a professional football player, that, and he's still fairly young. I mean,
that's why he made a really good defensive lineman, because being so wide, he was fast and he was big. And that is perfect.
The training regimen that man is on
is ungodly. Absolutely. I mean, you know, coming from UGA, this is actually funny. So he played obviously for like the UGA, and he was round 11, pick number 301. But he really, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, he deserved much better. He played for the Rams. It says the Sacramento Surge.
Shoutouts to the freaking World Football League.
yeah, because
I remember I had the trading cards of that back in the day, so I actually know a little bit about that.
Sacramento Surge, the Sacramento Gold Miners. Then he went to the Falcons, and then he had 1 year off season with the Panthers. But yeah. Panthers can go screw themselves. But he did have a World Bowl championship. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the World League of Football.
That's right.
As Adam Blompier likes to say all the time about Goldberg, he's Steve Austin, but with the aspect image ratio screwed up.
Yes. Well, that's
basically what he is.
And I will
as a little bit of a graphic arts humor for anybody who's a graphic artist like me. But speaking of Goldberg, though, we were on the subject topic of movies a little while ago, and how wrestlers were in movies. One of my favorite movies starring professional wrestlers is the remake of The Longest Yard. Yes.
He had a huge dick.
I remember I was in middle school.
It's all girl.
Right? And
it's all Jew.
Dude, I remember,
yes,
I remember
Jews
I
was, yes it is.
Jews and black guys have the biggest dicks in the business. That's why Ron Jeremy was able to get through the business so easily.
So easily. Nobody even knows.
We're just going on so many tangents about
this. That's our podcast.
That's a reality. Anyway, so I want to tell you this. So there's a deli here in Georgia called Goldberg's.
Goldberg's fine bagels and cold cuts.
That's right. And I will tell you, one of the best meals I've ever had in my entire life. Being a Jew, I'm like, yes,
dude,
two thumbs, baby.
The best bagels you've ever had in your life.
True story. For the longest time, I thought he owned it. I used to tell everybody, like, I'm like, hey, do y'all want to go to the restaurant, the deli that Goldberg owned? And by the way, hey, if y'all want to sponsor this show, I mean, I know you guys are going to pitch every penny.
We'll take bagels. Our like fifth different like sponsor.
Bill Goldberg. Hey, you have to spread it thick. All right, but here's the thing. Yeah, if y'all just want to give us bagels, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, some of that homemade cream cheese.
My God. So I'm telling you, I literally used to tell everybody, I'm like, hey, Goldberg owns this
place. I don't want to, like, you know, step on your toes here or anything, but the man who's the Jew thought that Goldberg, one of the most common Jewish last names, by the way.
My last name's Italian, so I mean, you know.
You thought that Bill Goldberg was the man who owned that?
Why not? Why not? At this point, would you be surprised if he's like, you know what, I'm going to buy every last one?
No, absolutely not, because the man's probably still, like, wicked rich from his time in WCW.
Well, he's still wrestling. That's the best part.
The reason why is because...
in phenomenal shape.
Yeah.
But, oh, absolutely.
But the reason why is because, again, WWE don't really have an exit plan. And they didn't even back then in 2003, 2004. It took literal, like, decades for there to be an actual, like, you know, reform to all this stuff. And even then, they're not doing, like, enough justice to it. So,
well, and that goes right into, like, you know, where another guy that they try to make a heel. You cannot make Goldberg a heel. You cannot put God's people. Don't put God's people in a box. Yeah. All right.
I mean, you'd figure that, like, they tried it once in WCW and it didn't work. So why on earth are you trying to rehash Vince Russo's god-awful creative decisions in a company that's years better than whatever he was? Because, listen, Vince Russo, the guy who was, like, the head writer for WCW and WWE for, like, a little bit.
Jerry Springer.
Vince Russo is the antichrist of professional wrestling.
Absolutely.
He didn't even like wrestling.
Well, so
no, he didn't. He never understood the business, and he came in, and you would figure that, like, if you came in as an outsider,
you would know a little bit of something. You'd study up, but instead,
you know a little bit about it.
Instead,
but
he decided, I'm going to mix fucking Jerry Springer with some other shit, and we're going to make the Attitude Era.
Yeah, Vince Russo is to wrestling as to fucking, God, what's his name?
Jeez,
Uwe Boll is to cinema.
Oh, yeah.
Uwe Boll. The guy who made the Blood Rain movies, the really, really shitty Alone in the Dark movie. Like, that German piece of filth.
You're telling me he didn't do Human Centipede?
No, that wasn't him. That was someone different. No, and Uwe Boll, like, real quick side tangent about this guy. I fucking hate the schmuck. Uwe Boll is such a bad fucking cinema maker that, like, you know how he listens to criticism? He challenges the people who criticize him, who are, you know, like journalism or whatever, and he challenges them to a fucking boxing match.
Wait, he's the one who made the Batman movie with George Clooney.
No, that was Joel Schumacher. That was someone completely different.
I'm sorry. I thought it was the same guy.
Let's just be real. It's pretty much the same guy. All right, I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Okay.
Who thought we've gone on tangents about George Clooney as Batman. That who in their right mind? No, we can't do it. We're not going back to it.
We're not bringing up Michael Moore, heavyweights, and George Clooney into this again.
Oh, my gosh. Let's put a pin on George Clooney.
Please, no more heavyweights, dude.
I was going to say
did you know that Nick majored in nursing?
I didn't know that.
Because he is nursing that Rita.
It's actually almost empty.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
taking
geez.
His sweet time. You know, this should be one of the... Hey, you know what? Strategically, we should make this a two-hour long. And that way he can't get up from the seat.
Oh, my God. That's fucked up.
Y'all are assholes.
How deep are we into this? It's 7:24 right now?
We're at the 10-minute warning right now.
Oh, really?
Who cares?
Let's bring it back. So, Goldberg, I'm going to go and say this. So, Goldberg, I personally think his finisher... is still to the, I mean, there's some great finishers out there. I think his finisher is the absolute most iconic finisher. Yes, I understand the Diamond Cutter, the Scorpion. Give me another
one. The sharpshooter.
Sweet Chin Music.
Oh yeah, the thing is, the names are great.
Yeah.
But the spear.
It's basically just a defensive line sack tackle.
Really, if it wasn't that they had to censor everything, they should have said, this should be called, I'm going to butt fuck your soul. Because after you got hit by that, whether you trained how to get hit by it and they practiced and all that, if you didn't shit yourself as you're laying there unconscious, how many people got speared and got back up? And the thing is, I think some of them actually got knocked out.
Yes.
Because the thing is, like, he's like, I'm not going to pull anything. He's like, I'm just going to do
was
it.
He was a very stiff performer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, but he didn't.
No, what I'm saying is, like, he was a much more stiff performer. He was kind of like the Road Warriors.
Yes.
Oh my God. The Doomsday Device. Literally, there were wrestlers
Wes,
in the
Wes
90s.
Wes is like looking around like, you guys are just throwing out random shit. None of this is real. Wes is like, y'all are just naming out
wrestling
random.
Wrestling is fake.
We're putting all these verbs and we're slapping it together and we're calling it a move.
Dr. D slapped the shit out of John Stossel for saying wrestling is fake?
Oh my God, yes.
That was
amazing. Whether you looked at wrestling as fake or not.
I told you earlier that I think wrestling is kind of ridiculous. And that's fine. And the reason why I think it's ridiculous is that Mankind character.
Oh, Mick Foley?
Mick Foley is an angel.
He's like the best thing to happen to professional wrestling. What are you on?
Cactus Jack and fucking Mankind and Dude Love.
I will tell you, I was
in the same promotion.
Yeah, and not only that, all three of Faces of Foley appeared in the same match before in the Royal Rumble a few years.
So here's the thing.
I say it like 1998 is a few years ago.
He had a lot of balls because he let the Undertaker throw him off the Hell in the Cell match.
And that's one of the most iconic moments in history in the history of wrestling. Just Mick Foley literally trying to see if he could fly by being thrown off a freaking 20-foot cage into a table.
That was fucking brutal,
dude,
man.
The first time I ever saw him was in an episode of Boy Meets World. So
yes.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, there was another one.
Cameo,
it was a Vader. Yeah.
Vader.
Vader.
Vader died too. Vader died.
Vader. Recently. They just announced he's going into the Hall of Fame. So, finally,
that's
much
right,
deserved.
That was Frankie Stakino's dad.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Eric, you know what? We are going to do an episode about Boy Meets World.
Ethan lost a lot of weight.
Yes, he became a professional bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Or no, not a bodybuilder. He became a professional strongman.
Yeah.
Dude, he's one of my favorite actors, dude.
Dude, if seriously, play, let's put that on the list of people to try to get on this show, because that Ethan man, play, what a great guy.
He's a beautiful dude, human being.
My favorite.
I want to kiss that man's lips.
I love Remember the Titans, and he was so good in
that movie. Oh my gosh, yes. Like, I mean, it just warms your heart.
He was the most innocent soul in that movie, too.
Probably. Yep. So, probably, dude, when he starts singing, oh my gosh, yeah, we got it. Sorry, we all know we can go on tangents. We need to see if we can get that man. I don't care how we do it. We got to invite him on this show. Yeah.
So real quick before this podcast is over, I did say I had another really good story about a wrestler.
Real quick, you think that like we care about his timer on this? I have sidelined him every time he's like, okay, we're done. This is going on a tangent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he said an hour time limit, and I just wanted to make sure I got this in. But
I mean, sometimes we go a little bit over.
Okay. But
a half an hour.
Okay. So I have a really good story about a more current wrestler, but some of y'all might know him as the face of TNA. His name is AJ Styles. He's actually another Georgia guy, much like Goldberg, although he lives in Gainesville, which is my hometown, and where me and Nick and Wes all met. Mm-hmm. And you, apparently, what's it? Tap It? Is that what it's called?
Oh, we're not promoting that place. We got to bleep out that. But, no, yeah, so I live in, Gainesville, I know we've talked about this in the show. Gainesville is, of course, north of Atlanta. It's north Atlanta. Yeah. It's a suburb.
It's better Atlanta.
It's better. It's better.
Nah, it's more like hillbilly country alternative
it's
Atlanta.
But fuck in the moonshine.
Yeah. That's basically what Gainesville is.
Oh, and by the way, folks, the podcast is actually moving to Dawsonville. So
yeah, we're
so that's
we're,
pretty
we're gonna butt fuck moonshine land.
Actually, Dawsonville is a pretty cool place, dude.
It's changed.
So much hate for that place. So here's the reality. All that is now. If those of us who grew up around this area. I know that you grew up in Gainesville. I know that you were what town was it?
It was
you didn't even know.
What? It was Tequila.
Tequila.
That's Gwinnett County.
So everybody who knows, like, you have Atlanta that's Fulton County, and then you have Gwinnett that's right above it, and then Hall County. So growing up, I was suburbs. I grew up in Gwinnett County. I was suburbs of Atlanta. Now Gwinnett is part of Greater Atlanta, and Hall County now is also now being considered part of
Metro.
Yeah. Part of
it's
the Metro?
It's right up there. Yeah. They're because of the 400 corridor, they're MARTA's trying to suck up everybody. But the thing is that I love it though. I love how what Atlanta is. I'm proud to be able to say I'm from Atlanta. I just tell everybody because everybody's like, oh, where are you from? And I say Lawrenceville. It's Atlanta. It's part of Atlanta.
I only really tell people that I'm from Atlanta when they're visiting from out of town from like different states or whatever. Out of country. If it's anybody who's like in Georgia, I say I'm from Gainesville because I actually live in a town called Gillsville, which nobody on this planet even knows about.
That's exactly true.
you think we could shoot a movie in Gillsville and do it cheap?
Probably.
Probably.
I have a bunch of forest land that I'm still technically living on.
I don't care about the law, so we can do anything.
Yeah. Again, yeah, his words, not mine.
We do not. On this podcast, we very much incorporate the idea that we don't have to ask the government for rights to do things.
Oh no,
it's called taxation theft.
I can self govern myself. Thank you very much.
Oh yeah, no, I agree with the whole taxation is theft thing.
That's why none of us pay taxes.
Yeah.
He said, yeah. I mean, he agreed. He's like, yeah, none of us pay taxes.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, being a server and everything, I completely understand taxation, taxation's theft. But that's a topic for another time. Anyways, we were briefly talking about Gainesville, and that's where AJ Styles, who is a big WWE wrestler now, I think he's going to be wrestling Edge at WrestleMania, which is, I'm looking forward to that matchup. But anyways, he lives in Gainesville, and there's actually a video game store that I'm pretty sure we've frequented. Yep. Somebody who, again, we'll name drop just so we can say, hey, sponsor the show, Wizards Video Games.
Yep.
They're a fantastic store. They're run by really cool people, and they've been in business for, God, over 10 years.
Where are they
point.
Located at?
They're in Gainesville. They're right by
pretty close to the Best Buy over there.
Yeah, they're off of Dawsonville Highway.
Dawsonville Highway. So if you're out that way, if you're ever out that way, especially for the listeners that are from Greater Georgia, Atlanta.
Yeah, they are the best place to get video games for your buck wherever you live.
Matter of fact, every time you buy a video game or anything from them, we get like a dollar. Hint,
hint. It's funny, but like I've actually done panels at Anime Week in Atlanta, and I've bought prizes that I've given away at the panels at Wizards Video Games before. And no joke, literally after I was done doing a panel over there, they was like a whole bunch of people who literally went from AWA to that video game store just to buy stuff, and they were just like, "Hey, where'd y'all come from?" And we're just like, "We were at AWA."
That's a long hike, dude.
Yeah, it is from Atlanta to Gainesville. Far be it for me to tell them that, but hey, at least my name actually like gives power to that kind of thing. So Wizards, if you're paying attention, these guys sponsor them. Trust me, they're Wizards. Good. Yeah. But anyways, speaking of Sorcerers. Wizards though, yeah. Speaking of Wizards though, there was this one time when I went in there, like I think it was like 2014. So this was before he signed with the WWE. There was a portable Super Nintendo that I really wanted to buy. It was literally like it was shaped like a Super Nintendo controller, but it had like a screen in the middle, and I wanted to buy that so badly. That's because no, and you can actually like plug the cartridges in the back and actually play like original hardware Super Nintendo games, even like Japanese imports and all that stuff too.
I love it.
So I wanted to buy that, but the problem was that I was a server and I didn't really have a whole lot of money in my bank account thus far because I had just gotten out of college. So I was just like, is there any way that you guys can put that on hold for me? I'll be back next week. I'm more than willing to, you know, pay you guys. And they know me. So they were just like, yeah, we'll totally do that for you. I shit you not. Literally 2 days later, AJ Styles walks in. And this was back during when he was about to go wrestle in New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is like a big wrestling organization in Japan. Yes. Really one of the greatest like wrestling companies
Nick,
out there.
Into the mic.
Yeah, into the mic.
Don't tell me what to do. I'm an adult.
So he was about to go on a big road trip to Japan. Wait.
This is the Georgia school system going and really just getting screwed up. He was going on a road trip
to Japan. You know what I meant.
There was a bridge.
I expect look, those comments to come out of Nick's mouth because he's Canadian. Man.
Hey, it's not because I'm Canadian. I'm a Marine, okay?
Is it because you're a Marine? I'm Special Olympics. Is it because retarded? You went to school in Tequila? Is it because that you're Canadian? Which one is it?
Hey, man, once Elon Musk makes that, like, you know, super highway across the whole entire goddamn world, then all of this problem will be solved. But until that point, it's never going to happen. Plus,
it's not.
Elon, if you want to sponsor this, that's
Elon Musk, I need money.
Give us some Doge, please.
Doge
but,
coin.
Yeah, AJ Styles walks into Wizards, right? And he goes and he looks at the same portable Super Nintendo that I had put on hold. And I've been doing business with them for like 5 years. They know me. I will come back and buy it. And he was just like, how much for that? And they were just like, well, it's such and such price, but it's actually going to be put on hold because there's, you know, one of our loyal customers is going to buy it. And he's just like, yeah, well, I'm AJ Styles and I have $1,000 on my wallet right now. Let me buy that shit. And he did. And I go back in to buy it a week later. And he's just like, I talked to Dustin. Dustin's one of the managers over at the Wizards, and he's just like, so where's my portable Super Nintendo? I have the money. And it's just like, you're not going to believe what happened. And then they told me the story, and I was just like, you know, had it been literally anybody else, I would have immediately cut all ties with you, and I would have never stepped foot into the store. But because it's AJ Styles, I'll give you a pass on that. And then to put a bow on this nice little story here, 2016, he gets signed by WWE, debuts in the Royal Rumble. Everyone goes crazy for it because this is like, you know, earth-shattering. The fact that a guy who's been like a big fish in a small pond for so long is finally back in WWE, you know, proper. And then a week or so afterwards, he does his last ring of independent tours. And there was this one show where he did. It was like his last independent show. It was filmed in, I believe, Canton, Georgia, which is about an hour west of where we are right now. Well, an hour west of Gainesville. It's about an hour north of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It was where I used to live, so I actually knew the area. I go there. and I'm actually, you know, thinking this is going to be like history or whatever, I have my camera with me. I film, you know, AJ Styles' last ever independent match. He was battling Corey Hollis. Shout out to him. He's a local indie guy. There was like a meet and greet beforehand where we get to meet the wrestlers and stuff like that. And I was just like, you know what? I am never going to let this down. I am going to go and talk to him, and I'm going to tell him, you remember that portable Super Nintendo you stole from me 2 years ago? and like, I literally, like, that was like the first thing I said to him before I, like, you know, got to shake his hand or whatever. And he was just like, oh, that was you? Oh, man, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, it's whatever, dude. You're a big WWE wrestler now. I'll let it slide. This is just a great story that I can tell everybody. So, yeah, basically, moral of the story, AJ Styles is a thief.
Hey, at least he looks adorable while he does it.
Yeah, I mean, he is. He does have that soccer mom haircut still, that Chris Jericho.
That's very strange because he looked very business, like, casual when he was in Impact.
Yes. He was shaved part of face,
very good hair though.
He was part of what was it? Fortune, I think, was the name of the stable with like him and Ric Flair
and one of his gimmicks. And one of his gimmicks involved a fake pregnancy.
Oh my God, the Claire Lynch storyline. Jesus, that was
amazing.
That was terrible. That was absolutely terrible. That whole storyline was what ruined TNA for like everybody.
Hey Nick, do you need a beer? Mm.
A lighter beer.
Oh, okay.
A lighter beer, he says. What are we looking at over there?
They're looking at subject horns.
Because they're doing a little were you watching the Page porno video again?
We are doing some independent research.
That's what it is.
Independent research independent means research. You're jerking off
later. Let's just be real. So when I got invited the show for the first time, like it was literally just a set in and then doing a little bit of like producer stuff for them, looking up stuff for him. I've realized really quickly, Nick comes here just to look pretty.
I'm fucking sexy, you know it.
So when it comes to like figuring out how the ideas for the show, most of it does come from Wes. But I realize he gives me the opportunity to help with subject matter. And that's what we do when Nick is going on his rants about
professional wrestling
or molesting a chicken.
All types of ill, real shit. We just kind of like, you know.
We're like, hey, check this out. And he's like, yeah, we could do that. Or what the fuck's wrong with you?
you know, this is one of those moments where we actually found a topic that works.
Oh, yeah.
That comes with me.
I could talk for hours about two subject matters, one being retro video games, the other one being wrestling, specifically any period from like 1996 to like 2011.
Yeah, we didn't even hit like the NWO.
Oh, no. Of course. Hey, oh, my God. Yeah.
You know what that means? We need to have another episode.
No, well, we can do a secondary episode at some point to kind of cover.
Let's plan out to do this one like 6 months in the future.
Yeah.
Let's because I mean the thing is, all right, we definitely you know what I can we definitely need to do a Boy Meets World.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but Vader was a lot better than what a lot of people thought he was.
He was the thing yes. is I will be honest with you, I didn't like it wasn't that I necessarily cared for him at all, but also when you see him in Boy Meets World. And the role that he did and, like, how much, like, what the whole storyline behind it of, like, who he was in that show was so cool to see him in that. Because, like, though I was, like, I was much more of a WCW kind of guy, seeing him there, I was like, dude, how cool is it that he's, like, in this show and what he actually did on the show, like, the storyline that they put on him on that show.
And the funny thing was, is my favorite character in the show was Feeny, and Feeny like just put him in his place.
Okay, hang on. let's get real. Feeny, though, those of y'all who don't know, if y'all don't know who Feeny is, then you're an idiot. Because what he did for people in, like for our generation in the 90s was huge.
He was a great
let me tell you how much of a gangster Feeny is. First off, Feeny his whole persona in that show is iconic. He is still alive. I love this man. I will mourn the day he passes away.
Well, his name is William Daniels.
Thank you.
And he's in one of my favorite movies of all time. He played the dad in The Graduate.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's a really good movie, by the way. One of the best movies ever.
One of the things, if those of y'all who are on the older side, before Boy Meets World, if y'all did not know this,
Knight Rider?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The voice of Kit. So he was the voice of Kit. And this is the best part.
I think he was the president of the Actors Guild for like
years.
Like 30 years or something like that.
Yeah, he was. So this is like really super cool. So he voiced Kit, but he was never on set. And what's this? David Hasselhoff. He meets him, and this was like way after the fact. Never met him, never talked to the guy, nothing, because it was a voiceover, right? He eventually met him, and he goes, "God, your voice sounds so familiar," and, because he never met the guy. So like they meet, and this is like a couple seasons into it when they actually met face to face. So it was so cool. So growing up, I loved Knight Rider. Now the first season was crap, but the seasons after that just were better and better and better. And then they did Knight Rider 2000. Do you remember that?
Knight Rider 2000?
Yeah, it was horrible. It was like a decade after Knight Rider was done. It was like a show that only lasted for like 1 or 2 years. Basically the same cast, but like in the future. Now. And then they keep on making these new versions of Knight Rider that just get worse and worse. But because he's not in it. That's what it is. David Hasselhoff is a crap actor. Kit, everybody wanted it for Kit. That's the whole reason everybody watched the show. It was the car. The car was the star. What, do you have nothing, Nick? You don't even remember.
Yeah, you know what? Now I don't remember because I'm fucking.
But you know, you need to remember. You need to remember to comment and subscribe and check out this channel.
Oh, look at that. That's a good plug.
There's the plug.
Hey, Nick, before you do the sign off, you know you have to do it in a specific voice.
Yeah.
You didn't hear that.
Japanese porn again, Rory.
What the hell?
Literally, that's what it is. It's Japanese porn.
Just a moment, real quick, while the Japanese porn is being stuck.
Jesus Christ.
Go ahead.
Stay sexy, Lena. You're the cream of the crop.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dumb, Cool, and Weird Podcast with Wes and Nick. If you want to check out more of our stuff, go to www.dumbcoolweird.com. You'll find our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and Patreon link if you want to support us. Also, be sure to check out our merch store. And if you're interested in being on our podcast, you can find a link on our website so you can reach out to us and tell us if you want to talk to us about something that's really weird, dumb, or cool. We'd be glad to hear from you. Hope you'll stay tuned for the next weird-ass episodes we got. Thank you.